Welcome to the Burgess Shale Story, a Canadian Rocky Mountain Parks World Heritage Site program on Park Radio. Listen as we explore the Burgess Shale, a rare glimpse into the half-billion-year-old fossil lineage of our most ancient forebears. And now your host, Brian Binden.
For many decades after Charles Walcott's 1909 discovery and vast collection of the unique fossils of the Burgess Shale in Yoho National Park, further scientific interest seemed to sleep. Many believed the fossil-bearing beds had been quarried away. Eventually, it was realized that Walcott's collection and preparation methods and his interpretation of the finds had become outmoded. And so, first in 1966, another prominent scientist of his day, Dr. Harry Whittington of Harvard, reopened the Walcott Quarry, and in 1975, exclusive area expeditions were permitted to the Royal Ontario Museum, launching the modern era.
It was the specimens collected in 1966 by Whittington, and painstakingly studied by him and his students for a decade after, that have remade our understanding of the Burgess Shale.
Using finer tools not available in Walcott's day, including an innovative minute dental drill, microscopes, and ultraviolet radiation photography, Whittington was able to study the specimens from both sides of Split Rock.
Whittington discovered that the animals Walcott thought were smashed flat had some three-dimensional structures after all. He meticulously picked away the thin carapaces to expose flattened innards. He enlarged microscopic views of these bodies onto boards and drew their detailed image. He concluded that Walcott was wrong in his classifications, time after time.
Nowhere was this type of error more evident than in the story of the creature called Anomalocaris, meaning strange shrimp. It turned out to be something else quite unexpected, a 500-million-year-old predator.
Anomalocaris turns out, as we now know it, to be essentially the largest Cambrian predator.
Dr. Derek Briggs, professor at the Peabody Museum of Natural History at Yale, and one of the students first hired by Dr. Whittington in 1972.
Prior to that, I think people had this fanciful notion that the Cambrian was a gentler time, that food chains weren't as highly evolved and communities were much simpler.
How had this been missed by earlier scientists? Here's the fascinating answer.
It's an animal which, at its largest size, probably got up to maybe half a meter in length. But unusually, it has a couple of great grasping appendages at the front of the head, which it used to capture prey, and it has a disc-like mouth. So when individuals decayed, the pair of front appendages and this circular jaw were incorporated into the sediment, and everything else tended to disappear for the most part. The legs alone were discovered, and they were interpreted initially as the body of some kind of shrimp. And in the meantime, the circular jaw had also been found isolated and was interpreted as a jellyfish, I guess.
It was all one animal. And Dr. Briggs recalls the moment Dr. Whittington finally grasped this.
It was a kind of eureka moment. I was actually with him when we tumbled to that particular realization. Between us, looking at some of these specimens, we realized that not only did the legs belong, but also this jaw-like structure.
Opabina regalis was another bizarre animal, with five eyes, lobes and segments, and a trunk with claws at the front. It, and many others, defied conventional classification, and prompted one of the most startling theories about the history of life then to emerge, the major role of chance. Dr. Stephen J. Gould.
The Burgess Shale is one quarry. There obviously are not many species of organisms in it, a few hundred perhaps at most, and yet it turns out that those few species represent a range of anatomical design that's far greater than what we see today, perhaps in all the world's oceans. It's a remarkable thing to think that so soon after the origin of preservable multicellular life on Earth, that you would actually have more diversity in a single quarry than you get in all the world's oceans.
Dr. Stephen J. Gould was a paleontologist with Harvard's Museum of Comparative Zoology, the same office once occupied by Dr. Harry Whittington. Dr. Gould was also the author of Wonderful Life, the Burgess Shale Story best-selling book that catapulted the finds and what they may mean to the public stage.
it's become necessary to entertain seriously the more radical view, namely that survivorship is something of a grand scale lottery. Consequently, I think we have to assume that the existence of any lineage on this planet, including our own, is that tenuous.
Dr. Gould's theories may not yet survive the new tests of high scrutiny, but they remain at the very heart of any serious Burgess Shale discussion, and the massive response to his 1989 book remains his enduring legacy. Scientists from around the world have been coming to study the Burgess Shale fossils for over a century and having experiences such as these.
It's stunning when you see a fossil for the first time since it was buried 500 million years ago.
This gives you a feeling of a very privileged moment.
All summer long, these World Heritage Site fossils await your own encounter in the company of helpful, knowledgeable guides. Contact Parks Canada to learn more. Contributors were Don Lessem and the late Dr. Stephen J. Gould, courtesy of CBC Ideas, and Dr. Derek Briggs of Yale University. The Burgess Shale story is sponsored by Parks Canada and the Friends of Banff Park Radio.